This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Last week, Republican lawmakers filed a proposal that would ask voters to decide whether a photo ID requirement should be added to the North Carolina Constitution. Lawmakers are also rushing to pass legislation this week before the session, the short session, winds down. Jeff DeBeery's covering all of this. He's at the Capitol Bureau, and he's our Capitol Bureau chief. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hey there, Frank.
Tell us first about the proposed voter ID constitutional amendment. What does it say?
It simply asks voters of North Carolina if they would be for or against amending the North Carolina Constitution to require photo identification at the polls. And that's truly it. Obviously, one of the big questions that comes with this debate, as listeners will remember in recent years here, is, well, which IDs are you going to be allowed to use? A university ID or a military ID or a government ID as an employment, you know, employment government ID? I mean, one state, I believe it's Washington, actually allows photo identification if it's any work badge. But those details not available now and won't be worked out, as it's been explained to me by the Speaker of the North Carolina House, until after this proposed constitutional amendment passes, if indeed it does pass.
Well, I mean, that's kind of crucial in a way because the voter ID the actual details were what the court found unconstitutional the last time the legislature tried this.
Yes, to some extent. And the law that passed 5 years ago was much more than just photo identification. And ultimately, the federal trial that took place challenging that election law from 2013 didn't include photo ID because lawmakers actually pulled that provision out of the bill. It dealt with early voting, reduction of early voting days, the elimination of same-day registration, and I believe 17 other provisions that were in that election law. And what the federal court, Fourth Circuit Court, ultimately found was that it disproportionately affected Black and Latino voters. I don't think that the statutory language that would follow this proposed constitutional amendment is going to deal with early voting and same-day registration, but I wouldn't put a large sum of money on that.
Well, that's the point. Ahead. You and all the rest of the voters who will see this constitutional amendment will only have to guess because the language is going to be filled in later. With that line, we don't know if the language would be available at the polling site. Would I get to see a broader description, or would that be – we don't know yet.
No, you will not. We're pretty confident in saying that. Now, oftentimes what happens, so North Carolina's constitution, the new constitution was ratified in 1971, and there have been roughly 40-ish proposed constitutional amendments since that time. And what often happens is if Legislator X proposes a constitutional amendment, there will be what's called implementing language that comes in the day to follow or the week to follow that would lay out for voters, hey, if you vote for this, this is effectively what's going to happen from a statutory standpoint. And that implementing language is dependent upon whether or not the voters would approve it. Now, the reason, as it's been explained to me, to separate the language and just the simple question is to keep the Constitution from being unnecessarily long and cumbersome. Someone told me at one point, I have not independently checked this, but that at one point Louisiana's Constitution was like 980 pages because all of the language surrounding these amendments got tucked into the Constitution. So they tried to separate it. But the point here is that there's not going to be implementing language. So that would come. Those details would come after the November election this year.
This pretty much a partisan proposal at this point. Who's for it? Who's against it?
Inside this building, partisan, yes. Outside of this building, repeatedly, polls have shown that a comfortable majority, some cases an overwhelming majority of Americans support the idea of voter ID. That's kind of the way this splits. And what will be interesting and, you know, what the expectation here is that this is something we're going to see on the campaign trail. This is a wedge issue as we think about, the proposed amendment, I believe 6 years ago now about, the same-sex marriage amendment, even something more recent like House Bill 2. This is something that if Democrats say, hey, voter ID is a bad idea, voter ID is going to lead to voter suppression, voter ID is, you know, not okay for these reasons. If the Democrat who says that is in a competitive district, the Republican in that district is going to come after him or her.
Mm, okay. So part of this then is to put this on the ballot, and we're hearing anyway, I've seen analyses that suggest that this is also, as you say, a wedge issue that can bring out the Republicans would hope would bring out their base, bring them
yes.
out to the polls.
That is the hope. That is the expectation.
Any chance it could work in reverse, given the way this alleged blue surge that we might be seeing, and the fact that the first voter ID law that was called unconstitutional had definite racial overtones? It was racially charged. Could this work? Could there be blowback? Could there be it work in reverse and get progressives to the polls?
Republicans will tell you absolutely not. There's no way, because the Democrats are already fired up. There's already this anti-Trump sentiment. They're already mobilized. They're already energized. The Democrats will tell you maybe it is possible that this is going to energize even more folks to get out to the polls. I would cite 2006, and the politicos around here call this a blue moon election, which means it is a midterm without any statewide Senate race here in North Carolina. Last time that happened was 2006. And if you go back to the early 1970s, 2006 had the lowest voter turnout of any election since 1972. It was like 37%. So to your point, it seems as though with voter turnout that was that low, if you put an issue on the ballot that is this divisive and this much truly of a wedge issue, that indeed it could swing either way. And folks will tell you, oh, no, this plays better for the Republicans. This plays better with every demographic. But yes, there are some people I have talked to who say that this could increase African-American turnout, which was down in 2010 and 2014, the two most recent midterms we've had.
Hey, let me ask you about this. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Ohio's efforts to purge its voter rolls. Court said states can kick people off the voting rolls if they've skipped a few elections or failed to respond to notice from election officials. Obviously, that again, it purges the rolls, tends to work in favor of conservatives. What are the implications for North Carolina?
Lawmakers are talking about it. Lawmakers are working behind the scenes right now. I don't have any nuanced knowledge of this about what may be coming in the days to come. But they're certainly talking about this. One lawmaker from the House, one lawmaker from the Senate indicated as such yesterday that this is something they're trying to work out before they end this short session in the next few weeks. They're trying to do this because they now have the backing or the precedent of the Supreme Court to do this. I mean, it's actually similar to 5 years ago when they passed that big elections law. The Supreme Court rolled back part of the Voting Rights Act, and then they acted with a law that was ultimately struck down. So I don't know if I would use the word expectation yet. I think there is certainly a possibility that we're going to see some sort of, we'll call it purging legislation in the next week or so coming out of the North Carolina General Assembly. And of course, the real interesting part is going to be what are the details and is there enough support to sustain an override of a gubernatorial veto?
All right. Speaking of purging, there's purging and gutting going on. Talk about the many late night bills that are gutted and amended. What's going on, Jeff?
They call it a vehicle around here. And any legislation that is filed in the long session, which is an odd-numbered year, is effectively, if it passes one chamber, it's alive through the even-numbered year. So there are a number of bills that are, if you will, just kind of sitting up in the policy cloud. And there's a bill that might have to do with foster care children. And, you know, it's been sitting somewhere for 6 months, and it's now a vehicle to move changes, statutory changes, to perhaps insurance policy or insurance language in the state. So this is something that happens toward the end of sessions. It is admittedly a dizzying practice, a disorganized practice, but it's a way to cram and rush things through. Democrats did it when they were in charge. Republicans are doing it now. It's truly terrible process. I mean,
rule is you can't propose a bill that hasn't passed once. In this session, we're not going to take any new legislation. So if it hasn't passed somewhere else, you can't bring it up. But you can take an old bill, strip all the language from the old bill, and put brand new language that you want. And now you got a new bill.
But to your question about Ohio, that's what we're going to see if indeed we do see a purging bill come out of the General Assembly. There's not going to be a new bill filed by Representative or Senator X. It's going to be something that's, you know, related to school charters, and they're going to rip the guts out of it and amend it to say, now the North Carolina Board of Elections is to do this with the voter rolls should people not vote in two or three consecutive elections.
So playing a little bit with the process, but the velocity, Jeff, that you say that this is all going through, there are lawmakers who don't know what's in their own bill. Is this true?
There was a committee. Yes, is the short answer to your question. There was a committee last night, the House Rules Committee, in which gutted and amended bills were moving rather quickly. There were questions from legislators to bill sponsors, and there was an instance at one point where the bill sponsor couldn't answer the question. And at one point, there was a turn to a lobbyist to try to get clarification on what they were trying to do with certain bills and why certain amendments were in there and what the effects of them would be. So not a lot of time for public debate or public hearings on this.
No. So the publicly elected representative says, I have to ask the lobbyist who, frankly, wrote the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all happening at a high rate of speed. I've got about 30 seconds left. There are a couple of more amendments, though. I have a little more than 30. A couple of more constitutional amendments. Maybe you can quickly run through those.
One of the other interesting ones, big ones that we are thinking we might still see emerge from this, from the Assembly, General Assembly, is putting a cap on personal income tax in the state. It would cap it at 5.499%. That's the current rate of the personal income tax. Our personal tax rate is going to actually drop to 5.25% next year. But what that would do is it would put a question before the voters, and the voters would say, no, North Carolina cannot raise personal income tax above that rate moving forward. So if Democrats or some other party or if Republicans decided they wanted to raise it to 6 or 6.25% 10 years down the road, they would not be able to do that.
All right, Jeff Tabiri, WUNC Capital Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
Always fun.
Got links to Jeff's work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, U.S. jails and prisons have become some of the largest providers of mental health care in the country. But what happens when inmates are released? We'll hear about a program to support former inmates, and we'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.